Hey, buddy, welcome to Matt Men, your source for all things professional wrestling. I'm Andrew Zarin. Of course, I'm joined by the timeless one, Rich Stambolian.
I'm timeless, but I'm always on time. What's going on?
What do you got there? Lean in that cup?
It's as usual, every week, it's scissor, and I ain't changing for nobody.
Great way to start your Thursday morning, Rich.
Absolutely.
A lot to talk about today. Last night's Dynamite, obviously, made a lot of noise.
Good God.
Two major debuts. We're going to talk about that. Obviously, WWE earnings, which I'm going to skim over because that's when Rich goes to bed. I got to tell you, I had Brandon Thurston on Wrestling Observer Live on Sunday.
Yeah.
And it was 40 minutes of me in pure joy just talking about numbers.
I can imagine.
Just talking about business numbers.
I tuned in for 3 minutes and then an hour later I woke up. I was on the floor. I don't know how long I was out, but... Just boom.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. But guys, listen, we've been doing a show for 399 episodes, way longer than it sounds, actually, because we missed a couple here and there. But we've gone through God knows how many different versions of the show. Next week, episode 400, Rich will be in studio. He's returning in studio. Are we going to do the Saudi show in studio on Saturday? Not this Saturday, next Saturday.
What day is that? March 5th?
No.
What am I thinking?
The 19th.
The 19th? You know what? That's a strong maybe. I would like to. I think that would be a lot of fun.
Afternoon.
Get a couple of sandwiches. That'd be nice.
Yeah, we can make sandwiches live on the air. We could do a whole thing.
Make some cannolis.
We got a whole thing going. And also, MG Geek has a plan for next week. Rich and I believe, or if we're doing this next week, I think we should. We are going to be doing a watch-along of the WBF, the first WBF show. We're going to be doing a watch along exclusively on our Patreon, patreon.com/mattmenpodcast. If you enjoyed the show, you can fund us over there. Obviously, you can hit the super chat button on YouTube. We're available everywhere podcasts are available. Hit the subscribe button. That's a huge help when you guys subscribe. And I'm in my coach outfit. I'm a middle-aged 40-something-year-old dad. That is my outfit today.
Are you doing Ted Lasso right now?
I'm doing Ted Lasso, yeah. That's exactly what I'm doing. I feel way older when I wear this, because yesterday I was wearing a leather jacket with like a hoodie on it, and I look like I'm going to rob you. And today I look like I'm at my kid's baseball practice. So the many looks of Zarian, that's what I call it.
Two looks. It's two looks.
Two looks. That's it. Ooh, you know what? We could do a charcuterie board stream.
Yes.
You're a big meat and cheese guy, right?
Not so much with the cheese, but I definitely do like a good
meats
charcuterie board, like a very light and easy one with a little bit of this is a tangent, but yeah. A little bit of prosciutto, a little bit of salami, a little bit of sopressata, and a little bit of mortadella.
Listen, no gabagool though. You don't put it.
I'm not a gabagool guy.
You know what? It depends on the gabagools. Like, there's sweet and hot gabagool, and a lot of people don't know. The same thing with the sopressata. Same thing with the prosciutto. You know, with like the prosciutto. But there's one style of prosciutto that I really, really love. It's very expensive. Very expensive.
Oh, it's like the imported prosciutto that's like $45 a pound.
Yeah, I went to was it Cipollini's? Yeah, I went to Cipollini's and it had the most amazing prosciutto platter. And I've never done that. I sat at the bar and ate prosciutto and drank white wine like a lunatic for hours.
That sounds amazing. Vicky and I had a similar experience. We went to Italy around the holidays with my brother, and we got the prosciutto plate with red wine and fresh mozzarella. It was the greatest of all time.
Beautiful. This is Meat Men, guys. Your show is for all things cured meat. Let's go. Where do you want to begin, Rich? Let's go into whatever you want to do.
All right. So yesterday the internet was all abuzz and it was breaking. It was cracking. The internet was cracking. You posted a couple of things that ended up blowing up about last night's Dynamite. Last night's Dynamite was touted as something super fun with full of surprises, and we got a couple of cool debuts out of it, right?
Very fun show. You know, it's funny. Like, sometimes you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't, right? And the Keith Lee stuff, I think it was easy for people to kind of guess that, but people were still on the fence. So 2 weeks ago, somebody told me Keith Lee's there, and on yesterday morning, I get a ping. They're like, hey, you know, maybe it's more than one person debuting. I'm like, really? And then they filled me in on it. And I thought, I'm like, I don't want to ruin people's show, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I tend to not do that. And a lot of people are like, you would do it if it was WWE. I'm like, I do it for AEW too, but I didn't feel like doing it this time around. I just didn't feel like ruining somebody's show. So I posted it and people, you know, it got people buzzing. Who could it be? And then I got a whole bunch of other people saying like, oh, why aren't you posting who it is?
Because you're a journalist and you're supposed to.
Yeah, because I'm a journalist, right? You know what my answer is? Because I didn't feel like it.
Yeah.
I have no, like, I don't have to do anything. I don't make money by posting this stuff. I'm not a reporter. Like, I report, like, yeah. I know stuff. Like, sometimes I say it, sometimes I don't. Like, you know how many things I sit on? And Rich and I talk about this all the time. Like, sometimes I just don't feel like it.
Would you consider yourself more of an observer?
I'm an observer. Than a reporter? I'm an observer. That's what I am. No, listen, go. I do it for fun. You know, sometimes I want to have fun. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I want to be miserable. That's all.
But you will tease the shit out of everybody.
I did not realize how it annoys people. So I'm going to continue doing it.
Love a good tease.
I do love a good tease. In my real life, also, I tease Rich constantly. I thought it was a good idea not to ruin the show. A lot of high expectations for this one. And I think it was a fantastic show. They did a great job with it. So a lot of speculation who it could have been. We heard Jeff Hardy. A ton of people thought it was Jeff Hardy. A ton of people thought it was Mustafa Ali.
Yeah, that one was a little weird. The Jeff Hardy bandwagon, I jumped on immediately because Matt Hardy said something the other day where he was like, well, maybe Tony Khan bought out his contract. And I'm like, you know what? That would be super cool.
Yeah. Who else was being speculated?
Joe was a heavy for me. Samoa Joe.
But that makes a lot of sense. Samoa Joe makes a ton of sense.
To be Punk's partner. And Punk even tweeted out, are you in the country, Samoa Joe?
Well, I'll tell you, last week he was in L.A. and he was at, he ran into one of our viewers at an amusement park.
Who's
Samoa Joe? Samoa Joe. I forgot what it was. It was like, Star Wars World or Lego. I don't know.
Oh my God.
Wherever he was. And he ran into him and the guy was like, hey, what are you doing? Are you coming back? And he's like, yeah, I'm working on something. But he looked to be in good shape. He looked, you know, he looked great. So I'm hoping he comes in soon because I would love to see a final run for Joe, you know, in like,
yes,
in like a main position that we didn't get to see in WWE on the main roster. So Joe would have made sense. Jeff Hardy, I think Jeff is coming soon. There's a bunch of other people. It's like somebody told me Swerve Scott. Like that was another suggestion. I saw a lot of names for, which he would be fantastic. He's an unbelievable performer. I think for what they did, they kind of positioned this, you know, Keith Lee in that match, Jay White. I think this was a nice, for the people who care, you know, especially AEW fans, I think this was big. I think Keith Lee's way bigger for a crossover audience, but I think for the diehards, you know, Jay White is unbelievable, and to put him on North American TV on a product that got some million viewers, you know, he may become the next big star if he stays.
With a new t-shirt also.
New t-shirt, yeah. New t-shirt, Jay White.
Yeah, and, you know, they keep teasing. I mean, we're gonna go into it later, but I think the Jay White thing is very interesting because they yet again are teasing the Bullet Club stuff, which does make me think there's going to be a lot more happening.
Yeah. Issa wants to fight me. Here's the deal. Meet me in Midtown. I'll be on 39th and 5th on that corner all day. I have the sign telling you that the business is going out of sale and I'm flipping a sign. Meet me over there. I'll fight you and I'll hit you over the head with the sign, Issa.
Are you just going to go around fighting all our female fans?
Yes, that's my gimmick now. I just fight all of them.
You have to be like really sassy about it though.
All right, what else do we got?
What else do we got here? All right, well, you know, we just talked about the debuts. Apparently, on a side note with the Jay White thing, Tony Khan didn't lock it in until Sunday.
Yeah, so he apparently realized the word salad of a tweet he put out.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because people are like, well, it's obviously Keith Lee based on how he's writing. And then the memes continue where people are circling, like, the letters for Shane. People are, you know, they're having fun with it. So he didn't decide till Sunday. You know, I think this is great. If this was a happy accident that he was like, I got to do something to make it up, that's fantastic because that shows that he was able to pivot, or they had this plan and just it just felt happened on Sunday.
Very interesting.
You're a big Jay White fan, so the, you're probably
I love thrilled. Jay White.
Yeah.
You know what? And I will. I'm the first to admit that when he was revealed as Tanahashi's stalker, I was like, "Ugh, this is a womp womp moment." But soon after that, really came around to the whole Switchblade gimmick.
Obviously, you wanted it to be DDP.
I thought any stalker in wrestling, it's got to be DDP. I got a question for you, real quick, before we move on. Do you think the last piece of this puzzle is going to end up being Prince Devitt?
He's locked in for a little bit, you know.
You think so?
I think so. Didn't he just sign a contract? I thought he was. I thought he has a couple of years. I don't think he's his contract's ending, unless I'm wrong. Someone might know this in the chat. I can't remember offhand.
He's got to be one of the last Triple H guys, right?
Him, Owens, right?
Owens resigned for a while.
Yeah. Dunn, he resigned. Ciampa's still there. Rollins, you know, he's still there. I don't know. You know, you sometimes you wonder, like, AJ Styles is a name that people were like, well, how come he didn't go there? He had two opportunities.
Right.
And he's happy. He's comfortable. He's on, you know, he's on WWE TV. He doesn't. I'm sure if he wanted to, he would have gone. He's making a ton of money. Yeah. He's happy. You know, sometimes people just don't want to change what they have. I don't know if that's you know, Devitt's case or not, but sometimes your comfort is, you know, look at Nakamura. Nakamura is super comfortable.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
You know, that plays a big part in people's decisions. You know, to us, like, as a fan, you want to see them in the best position to perform and to entertain you. But to them, they're like, listen, I kind of like the paycheck I'm getting. I like my coworkers, and I'm having a good time. I'm just going to continue doing this. I don't want to kill myself, you know, working super hard anymore. I'm not saying that they don't work hard, but some of that goes into account for some of these guys.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think it's very interesting. That's an interesting topic, too, because Nakamura has become like a utility player for them. And the Finn Balor thing is very interesting because he's on TV, he's not TV. He looks like he's having such a great time. So who knows? You know, same thing with AJ Styles. Like, his deal apparently is well into the seven figures. So, like, and you know what? He's one of those guys that WWE really made into this giant superstar, right?
Yeah.
Also, last night, Jade Cargill retained her title. She's getting better and better.
Yeah, you know, she did that interview, and she was pretty honest, and she was open. Like, she's very aware of her shortcomings. And she said, like, she's working hard for, you know, to get her in-ring up there. She's only had X amount of matches. I forgot the number, but it was something shockingly low. What was it, 32 matches? Right? Something like that, yeah. Yeah, so, you know, she's very aware. She's very new. She has a fantastic look. A one in a million look. I know for a fact that people in WWE are interested in her now that they've gotten to see what she could do on TV. You know, it's a whole new presentation for her, and she's getting more and more comfortable. I think that's great.
Yeah, yeah, she's something special, I think, and it's interesting. You know, when you look at that landscape of wrestling and you see like how she was part of the Performance Center at one point.
Yeah,
and they were just like, "We got nothing for you, kid." And now, you know, like I would say, like she's one of those. She's a wrestler that's also like that crosses over into like an inspiration for other people. You know, she's a mom. She looks amazing. You know, positive attitude, that whole thing. And, you know, like we just talked about, Mox was CM Punk's partner last night. Who did you think it was going to be, you personally?
So I remember I watched after the fact. So I didn't get that reaction, but I thought for like a split second, I thought Danhausen, because before I saw, you know, them like tease anything, right? I thought Danhausen, and then I thought like maybe it's like a third debut, you know, like okay. It could be like, I thought like I want, because you don't know, like, I don't know. I was like, oh, you know, it would be really freaking cool if it's Joe.
Right.
You know, and people lose their mind, but why would you blow that now? You know, you kind of want to save that. I did think Danielson would get involved in this.
Okay.
And which he didn't. I know they filmed something backstage with Danielson on Rampage, but it wasn't available to the live crowd, so they didn't see it. I don't know. Who did you think it was? I really didn't have that much of an opinion. Like, Mox made sense, but I didn't think it would be him.
I didn't think it was going to be him. That came out of left field a little bit. I really had my money on Joe, but, you know, thinking about it now, and again, this is just fantasy booking on my part, since Wardlow is clearly turning face at some point and leaving that group, they're still going to need a heavy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
What if Joe comes in as the Wardlow replacement in the Pinnacle,
and
then you get...
That's awesome.
Then, yeah, and then you get... The furthering, you get two things. You get the furthering of Joe and Punk, which we haven't seen in almost 20 years, right? And then you get the weird connection of MJF and Joe from when MJF was an extra on WWE TV and Joe shoved him out of the way.
Oh, that is cool.
Which would make, I think, MJF the bigger heel because he's like, oh, yeah, I'm the one who gave you a job now. And Joe has to be the enforcer.
Yeah, Connor in our chat room on YouTube said a small part of him thought it was Johnny. Johnny would have made sense too. I know he's not come back till after the baby. So the baby, the rapper, not the child that his wife is carrying.
You love that guy.
The baby. There's two
You're
babies.
Big the baby.
The baby and there's little baby. There's two babies.
I didn't know there was a little baby. I thought you were thinking a little of the brat.
No. The brat. There's the brat also. No, but there's the baby and there's little baby. L-I-L.
I think you should go around telling people that you're really the brat.
Should I go around explaining hip hop to people? Is that my new thing? Like, I just have
poorly.
A YouTube series of totally like explaining it to people. I'm like, did you fellas know that there are two babies in the rap game right now? There's two babies in the rap game. There's Da Baby, D A Baby, and then there's Little Baby, but not Little L I L Lil.
On the next bet you take, if you lose, can you just dress like Little Kim for one episode?
You want me to dress up like Little Kim on that hardcore cover? Like from the 90s?
Oh,
yeah. That 1995, yes. 1996 album, Hardcore, where she's crouching?
Everything, yeah. The whole nine.
There's also Wheezy F Baby. There's another baby. Too many babies.
A lot of babies out there.
Yeah.
A lot of babies out there. Adam Cole was the one who brought in Jay White. Behind the Young Bucks back. This is getting even more interesting because now it's all the guys, you know, so you're getting all the Bullet Club, you're getting Undisputed Era, Adam Cole's in the middle. And they, like we said before, they Adam Cole teased that once you're Bullet Club for life. And in my head, they just kept repeating Bullet Club, Bullet Club, Bullet Club to get like, not only to get garner interest, but you know what? If anything, that the Bullet Club needs like a little more life right now, you know? Yeah,
well, Bullet Club, it's fascinating. Like if we were to do a series, like I would love to do this where we break down like what happened with Bullet Club and how it dominated. Honestly, I attribute this to Reddit, to Squared Circle.
Okay.
Because that's where a ton of disenfranchised pro wrestling fans discovered Bullet Club. Like,
yes,
when it was peaking, I forgot who it was, but there was, I'm sure multiple people did this, but it's like early Bullet Club. Somebody did like a whole breakdown when, like, after Devitt left, right?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody did like a whole like history of Bullet Club, like with Kenny Omega and everything. And it got so interesting to people. One, because you don't get to see these guys too often, right? It's not a weekly presentation on TV that you're watching. And two, it was different, but it was so familiar. You know, and that plays a huge part, and I think that's the charm about AEW for a lot of people, is that, yes, it's different. It's not WCW, but it's not the Attitude Era, but it is the closest thing to that era of wrestling that a generation of fan, now our age, late 30s, 40s, grew up on. And it's there's a connection there, and I think that's what, to me, I think that's what is so attractive about AEW. But the same thing goes for that whole New Japan boom from 2014 on. It was the whole Bullet Club saga. It was that you had Americans in Bullet Club, and these guys were kind of breaking the norm of wrestling. They were cursing. They were cutting different style promos. It was more realistic. It really worked. And I really 100% say that Reddit played a huge part in this. To garner up enough interest where people were then creating YouTube videos and everything else going on.
I agree with that 100%. Also, like, you have to, we definitely need to do like a deep dive in this, because if you think about the other thing too is that Jado and Gato were the ones who love American style, like F you shit heel wrestling.
Yeah.
And they wanted something like that in New Japan. And it took off like wildfire because not only was it nostalgic for us, but I think the Japanese audience had never seen something like that. All the foreigners together, right? The other weird thing about the Bullet Club stuff is, like we were saying, you need like a little more of an injection of life at this point. Machine Gun and Gallows had a match, I believe, with G.O.D. on Impact. And listen, I found out about it late. Nobody was buzzing about it, right?
Isn't that weird? Isn't that bizarre? I mean, listen, ebbs and flows, right? Everything has ebbs and flows. I mean, is Bullet Club at the top of the game? No, not right now. They're not the hottest thing, but very easily they could start selling those t-shirts again. And it would change everything.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. Very, very interesting. And as a fan, I think both of us will agree. Listen, do some more cool Bullet Club shit. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, me too.
Let's see. And Adam Cole challenged Paige after that insane Texas death match last night. Sort of, right?
Yeah, so there is a video. Okay, here it is. Who made this video? It's the recount history of the Bullet Club. New Japan Pro Wrestling put it out, where it's a 5-part series on the history of the Bullet Club, which is very cool.
Awesome.
I can't see who sent this to me though. Hold on, let me give proper credit. Kyle Masters sent this to me.
Not Kyle.
Kyle Masters.
His last name is Kyle. I don't know if anybody knew that. Our friend Kyle.
Kyle. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, how do you feel about Adam Cole loosely challenging Adam Page?
I'm cool with that. I think it would be a great match. I want to talk. You know what? Let's pass over this because I have a bunch of questions for you once we get to that main event.
Shoot. Okay.
I want to kind of go into it. Let's go into Dynamite, and then we'll go back to this because there's stuff to talk about. Also, we have a ton of WWE stuff we got to talk about. MJF, Wardlow, and FTR opened up the show. MJF entrance was over the top. He came out on a chariot, right? Was that a chariot he was on?
I forgot what the proper name is, but it wasn't a chariot.
They called it the proper name. I forgot what they said.
Yeah. It was the riser for when royalty comes out.
So they came out, they cut a promo, Punk comes out, interrupts him, wants a match, challenges Wardlow, challenges MJF, tells Wardlow to drop them. Sting and Darby come out, and what happened afterwards? MJF tells Punk. What tells him what?
All I see on the notes is MJF tells Punk.
What did he tell him?
I think Mr. Gonzo's having a freak out. But Punk leaned into the Wardlow cheers and was like, listen, big guy, why don't you get while the getting's good? You don't need MJF anymore.
Yeah. So Wardlow came out and destroyed the Blade. They went a little longer with this match than previous weeks. Inner Circle meeting. Essentially, they have a match next week, right?
Uh-huh. Yes. I like that. I like that promo. I thought it was interesting. Sammy leaving, you know, you could see the writing on the wall because he was like the fifth wheel in that legitimate. He was legitimately the fifth wheel there. Jericho and Hager versus Santana and Ortiz. I'm cool with that.
So hang on. Our producer, Matt, MG Geek, is using deep rooted sociology with because that's his favorite thing.
So distracting.
If he wins with a partner. So that's where the mystery partner came from. Thank you, MG Geek, for ruining that segment. Wardlow, Inner Circle meeting, so we got that. What do you think? You know what was great? Who was it? Which one? Because I was turned away, but one of the guys from... one of the guys was like, this guy's bugging. Was that Santana? Ortiz,
I think it was Santana.
I can't remember because I wasn't watching the screen. I think it was Ortiz. But I was like, okay, that's very New York. Fantastic. Roppongi Vice interview, and Jay White appears and attacks Trent.
Great.
And that's where you got the Bullet Club stuff. The Face of the Revolution qualifies. So we did this back-to-back, right? Jay White comes out. It was like, oh, crap, it's Jay White. But now, who's facing Isaiah Cassidy? Keith Lee comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Big boy, man.
Big dude, yeah.
He's... I don't expect him to keep that size. I'll just tell you that.
You don't think so? You think he's going to get bigger?
No, I think he's going to get a little smaller. I think he's going to drop some weight because he was big. I mean, Not that he didn't look bad, but he was gigantic. He was way bigger, like 20, 30 pounds more than what he was last. He looked beefy as hell, impressive looking. I'm a big Keith Lee fan, you know?
Same here.
A sweet face on that man.
Yeah, he's definitely winning this tournament.
I wanted him to do like a bear claw or something, just to be like,
okay,
he's a bear guy. Like one of those? Yeah.
Is that what your reaction was? Were you like, oh shit, it's the Bearcat?
It's the Bearcat. It wasn't that everybody's reaction when they watched it? They're like, oh man, that's the Bearcat from WWE.
Holy shit, it's the Bearcat. I had to explain to my wife yesterday who Keith Lee was and why I was reacting so hard. I was like, and these are the words that came out of my mouth. He's a big guy, but he moves like a little guy.
Yeah, he looked great. You know, he was fine. He did big man spots. We'll see more. You know, we'll see what he's going to be doing.
And then Punk with Moxley beats FDR. They hit a doomsday device, which, that popped the hell out of me.
Oh, dude, I know. That was wild. So what did you think of their chemistry?
I loved it, right? What I found even more interesting was JR called this match like it was the greatest thing he's ever seen. You know, like JR called his match as if he saw the face of God.
You know what it reminded me of? Like a main event Raw match where you have, I'm giving this as an example because I can't think of another one, but it was very reminiscent of that, right? Do you remember that before the Raw before WrestleMania 18, where you had Austin and Rock team up against the NWO in a handicap match? Or was it a handicap? Yeah, I think it was a handicap match. Or maybe Scott Hall wasn't there. I can't remember. But Jim Ross was on fire that entire match. It was like the greatest match he's ever seen. And he does that a lot when he has a mixed tag partners that are normally not traditional tag partners. Yep. And he needs to put them over. He goes over the top that this is like the craziest ensemble to put together. He really did a fantastic job. You know, he's been doing this for so long and he gets a lot of criticism online, but when he turns it on, man.
When he sees something he likes, he really, really goes for it. But I find that so interesting. Not to say it was a dig or anything, but at the end of the match, and this is not verbatim, Jim Ross was basically like, now that's what I call tag team wrestling. And in my head, I was like, the end of that sentence was, as opposed to the flippy shit you see every week on this show.
I get the criticism. I get that criticism about the flippy shit, you know?
Yeah, I think it was very interesting. But he called the shit out of the match. The match was great. You had the double finishers, double submissions. You got a go to sleep to Tully Blanchard. Come on, man. What decade are we living in?
I know. Tully Blanchard's there. Jim Ross is calling. It's a bizarre mismatch of wrestling.
It's the metaverse. The only thing the Large Hadron Collider did was make wrestling awesome.
God, you know what? I think that's the wrong. I think it made a lot of things worse, but it was a side effect that it made wrestling awesome.
Yeah, the only thing it did right was it made wrestling awesome, and the scientists don't want to talk about it.
That guy I met in Penn Station screaming and yelling about that Large Hadron Collider was absolutely right in 2012.
Yeah. He was like, they're going to mess everything up, but they're going to make wrestling great.
Listen, we're going to have antlers if this thing happens. Do you want antlers?
It would be funny if there was like a moment, like a 12 Monkey style moment where this guy ran up to you in 2012 and was like, can you believe it? CM Punk is going to do his finisher on Tully Blanchard. And you're like, what are you talking about? All right. So great match. Then you had Jade Cargill beating AQA, formerly Zeta Ramir from NXT. Fun match, good match. And then you had, arguably the best heel on TV, one of the best heels on TV right now.
Who?
Serena Deeb beating Kate Kat.
Yeah, Serena's great.
Serena has come such a long way as a performer and as a heel. I'd like to see her with that belt sooner than later. And then you had the AEW World Championship Texas Death Match, Hangman beating Lance Archer.
Yeah, what did you think of this?
What a match. Loved it. Top to bottom, loved it. Listen.
Yeah.
These guys are great bleeders.
Dude. listen, you know what? I got to tell you, I didn't mind it in this setting, right? Like, I know a lot of people are weird about this. Well, some people want all the blood, and other people are very uncomfortable with it. I could see both sides. I could see people who, like, I don't like a lot of blood. I don't like it when it's used unnecessarily. I don't want a guy like in a vignette bleeding. I don't want a guy in a promo starting to bleed like Flair. I think it's unnecessary. But
I think you're traumatized by Flair.
I think it's forever traumatized by him bleeding. But Hangman has become synonymous with this. Mm-hmm. But listen, it was a Texas death match. How do you not have blood in a Texas death match? They did a fantastic job with it. I thought I don't know if it was by design, but he was like one side was just covered in blood and the other side was normal. He kind of looked like Two-Face. I thought
it was good, man.
Very good match. Exactly what it was supposed to be. Those guys killed each other. I thought the worst spot was Hangman being dropped on the steps because they moved the steps to the side and he just went flat back on it. Mm-hmm. That looked brutal when he fell on that thing.
Yeah, it was a hard-hitting match. These guys have great chemistry, and it makes me want to see more matches with them. AEW does the quote-unquote like hardcore deathmatch stuff really, really well. I love Dan Lambert removing the top rope so Hangman couldn't get to the buckshot, but then jumping off a person to do the buckshot, amazing.
Yeah, and also Jake Roberts doing a short arm, right?
Yeah,
Jake
it was
the,
wild.
The short arm, and then he went for the DDT, and he didn't get it. I thought that spot kind of looked wonky, but listen, anything Jake does, I absolutely love.
Yeah, yeah. Who'd have thought?
So now, the match finished when Archer couldn't beat the 10 count, and Hangman wins after Archer was, I guess, dove into a bunch of exploding. Those tables blew up. Did you see? It was like an explosion.
They're big dudes, so of course.
Yeah. And at the end, Adam Page comes out, grabs the title, holds it, looks at it, and gives it to Page. And I guess that's the setup for the pay-per-view where you're going to have Hangman Page and Adam Cole. The Battle of the Adams.
The Battle of the Adams. I'm with it. I think they're going to have like an insane match. Like Hangman can work. Hangman works with every single person he's in the ring with. You know, like there's something... there's something about him that he can have instant chemistry with everybody. Let's go back for 2 seconds here. Matt Hardy leaving through the crowd. Do you think that was a hard Jeff Hardy tease?
So, you know what's funny? I saw that, and then I saw a bunch of people writing. I'm like, I think people are diving too much into this. And then commentary kind of added more to it and saying something's wrong. Like, the words that they used were the same words that were used for Jeff Hardy to describe what happened. So maybe that was, you know, their smart booking, I guess you would call it. But Jeff's coming. I mean, Jeff's coming. And, you know, I hope he's healthy and I hope he's mentally in a great place because I think those guys could have one last run. You know what I want to see? I want to see. Give me three. Actually, I'm sorry. Give me five Hardy matches you want to see in AEW.
Five Hardy Boys matches.
Yeah.
Hardys versus Bucks, Hardys versus Punk and Mox, Hardys versus FTR, Hardy versus the Lucha Brothers. I think that's five.
I'm going to give you Hardys and the Bucks, Hardys and FTR,
okay.
Hardys and the Rock and Roll Express.
Awesome.
Lucha Bros.
Yep.
And let me get a good one.
And
the Briscoes. And the Briscoes.
Okay.
Guess what? That could all happen.
Everything could happen.
That all could happen, which is awesome to think about, right?
You could even
How old
have...
is Ricky? How old
Ricky's
is Ricky?
Like 60?
Let's see. Robert Gibson is 63, and Ricky Morton is a youthful 65. And this photo of Ricky Morton on Wikipedia is the most hysterical photo of Ricky Morton. He looks like he is selling... homes, but really bad homes.
Listen, you could even get Hardy Boys versus G.O.D. at some point.
I want you know what? How about the Hardys versus Gallows and Anderson? We could see that also, right? I think maybe we've seen that. I don't know if we've seen that.
I think we've seen cool that.
Too. You know what I want? I want there to be a moment. There's the funniest thing that Luke Gallows has ever said. I it was before they were doing the BTE stuff. Maybe it was early BTE. And Gallows goes in. They're in Japan. They're in the hotel. He walks in. He goes, F me sideways. Which one's Sean and which one's Marty? To the Bucks. I don't know why. That shit has tickled me for years. And every time I see them, that's all I say to myself. Which one's Sean? Which one's Marty? I think it's hysterical.
That is pretty funny. We got Rampage tomorrow. We only got 20 minutes left, guys. So okay. Get your questions ready. We're going to speed through a couple of things. Rampage tomorrow night, Young Bucks versus Roppongi Vice. Finally, that's going to be fun.
Okay.
Brian Danielson has a promo. You have the return of Hook. Hook versus Blake Lee. Britt Baker versus Robin Renegade. And Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus. I was going to say Luchasaurus. Luchasaurus versus the Gun Club, the Ass Boys. Next week, we're getting Jericho and Jake Hager versus Santana and Ortiz and a no DQ match between Thunder Rosa and Mercedes Martinez, which should be fun. You have 20 minutes left to talk about numbers, by the
way. Okay, let's do this. A few notes from the earnings call. I'm not going to dive deep into this. If you want to check it out, head on over to my interview with my co-host on Wrestling Observer Live last week, Brandon Thurston. He did a great job at breaking this down and explaining what this all means, but reported a record $1.095 billion. They touted viewership increase on Peacock as opposed to the WWE Network in 2019. They discussed the NIL program as a new tool for recruitment. There was no questions relating to AEW, Shane McMahon, or talent cuts. Vince only gave the opening remarks. That was the earnings call. So, some were Shane news. The number got screwed up with Orton. They had some... It was a total disaster, okay? I think we've gone deep into this. But, you know, some interesting Shane stuff came out on Monday. Shane was in the city.
Our city.
Was in New York.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he was spotted possibly negotiating a deal between WWE, the Florida Panthers, and the Sharks and Sharks Rugby. Now,
interesting.
I know Shane was out with people because some people saw him in places.
Yeah.
And he immediately told me, guess what, you never believe where Shane is. Shane was out and about. So obviously he had a meeting. I don't know what the deal is. Maybe this was a commitment he was working on prior. I don't, maybe they made up that whole, you know, they fixed the whole situation. Or, you know, sometimes maybe they're working everybody. I'm not saying that that's the case. But it looks like Shane's still doing something with them where he brokered this deal. So that's interesting. WrestleMania weekly update. The main events are made official this week. Ronda Rousey versus Charlotte Flair. Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar. WrestleVotes also said Shane's Mania match was set to be a top spot and they look to replace it. So I could tell you that they were working on something for Shane and he was going to have a high profile match. That's how it was said to me. It was going to be a high profile match rather than just being a random match on the card. So, take that for what you will. I don't know what the exact match was. Somebody else also told me that was there, said, listen, I don't feel comfortable saying this, but there's a bigger story to this, and maybe one day it'll come out. I have no idea what that means.
Fascinating.
He could be working me. He could be, you know, adding more. I no idea, but very interesting stuff happened that day. Matt Hardy claims that on his Twitch that Jeff Hardy turned down a WWE Hall of Fame spot. Which is fascinating. And they wanted him to come back for that. Interesting stuff.
Yeah, I think it says here that it was just going to be Jeff.
Going in? So stupid, right?
Isn't that weird? Like,
that's,
I mean,
really weird.
Yeah, they both deserve it, right?
They both deserve it. I mean, Jeff had a fantastic singles run, but Matt also was of an instrumental part. Like, if you're going to induct them, why wouldn't you induct them together first? And then you could do Jeff. I think you got a couple years to do that. Exactly. I'm not going to go into results for Raw and SmackDown. I think plenty of people have done that. Raw ratings, 1.387 on Sci-Fi. Technically the lowest in history. But they were on Sci-Fi and going up against the Olympics. NXT, however, yikes, that viewership. 400,000. Terrible demo. Again, they're going up against the Olympics on a new night. Their viewership is already in the 500, so they lost a good chunk. We'll see what happens next week. Maybe next week it'll level out because this is 2 weeks they're on there.
Are you saying that Dolph Ziggler was no help to those NXT ratings?
Oh, man, Dolph Ziggler maybe hurt those ratings.
I NXT, got a question for you.
Yes.
Real quick. All right.
Yeah.
Do you think the Brock Lesnar-Roman Reigns match is not set in stone just yet? And somehow, some way, it's going to be Goldberg versus Brock Lesnar.
No, God, no. Please. No, definitely not. That's not happening.
No? You don't want that to happen? I thought you texted me the other day saying, like, Rich, I don't care if whatever... I don't care about anything that happens in wrestling as long as I get Goldberg versus Brock Lesnar.
I never said that. That's fake news. You're tarnishing my reputation more than I've tarnished it already. NXT Championship match at NXT Vengeance Day next Tuesday. Limited commercial, a run on this one too. NXT Champion Braun Breaker versus Santos Escobar. That should be a good match. Carmelo Hayes versus Cameron Grimes for the NXT North American Championship. Toxic Attraction. Mm-hmm. Versus Indy Hartwell and Persia Parada. Dusty Men's Tag Team Classic Finals. MSK versus
Dusty
Men. Dusty Men's. The Men's Dusty Rhodes Tag Team. I'm trying to get through this as fast as I can. We're running out of time. Men's Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic Finals. MSK versus the Creed Brothers. And a weaponized steel cage match. Is that like going to be the same where they had the planters for that Jericho match?
Sure. Yeah.
What is a weaponized steel cage match? Pete Dunne and Tony D'Angelo.
All right. Great. I'm looking forward to that. It should be fun. Do you want to jump into questions?
Let's do it.
Let's see here. All right. We got a couple of super chats. If you want to super chat us, we only have 15 minutes left, but if you want to super chat us, your question will be read first. Let's get on with it. All right. This one is from James Nodor II. What faction do you see Keith Lee joining, or do you see him as a lone wolf like Moxley?
I don't know. I think that's a great question. I see him as a lone wolf. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think he needs a faction just yet. I don't think you got to put him in a tag team match. He'll shine as his own star, you know? There's plenty of time for him to partner up with somebody.
I got a great match for him. Andrade tries to recruit him. He says no, and him and Andrade have a nice little program.
I wouldn't mind that either.
Yeah.
Let's see. We got another super chat from Green Da Vinci. Do you guys think we're getting G.O.D. in the near future?
I don't know. I 100% have no idea. I know you tipped for this, and I wish I could give a better answer. I would love to see it. I don't know. Somebody sent me a message. They're like, "Oh, do you think Tony and them have a problem?" And not that I know of. I think there was some tweets back and forth, but I think that's just them working everybody.
Yeah. With Don 99 from our friend Chris Farrell, Hardy Boys versus Private Party would be great.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic. I think that's a good veteran versus up and coming match to have. I think that's where it's going to lead to. By the way, maybe they're going to turn on Matt, and then here comes Jeff to save him, and you just set up a pay per view. Like, and that's a high profile match for Private Party, you know?
Jeff covered in face paint, just his entire body.
Like this?
We got a dot covered, oozing face paint.
Hey, you like my Jeff Hardy?
Do it again.
No. It's more like an Arab dance, like a Persian dance. I'm doing.
That's your Jeff Hardy. You're hailing a cab.
Yeah, I'm hailing a cab. Do one of those.
We got $1.99 here from Matthew Makovsky, and Matthew says, "Cole Red Dragon versus Jay and God versus Kenny." And the Bucks, 3 versus 3 versus 3.
Say that again, because I have if Goldberg wins on my.
You did
screen.
Two super chats, okay, man. Okay. Matthew. I read the other one.
Okay,
Cole and Red Dragon versus Jay and God versus Kenny and the Bucks.
That'd be fantastic. Love that too.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah,
and this is Matthew's other question. $1.99. Thank you very much. If Goldberg wins February 19th, I'm officially #AllElite.
Okay.
Who next? Who dat?
He was wearing a jacket the other day when he came out.
Yeah, he was chilly because he's old.
No, he doesn't feel comfortable with his body yet.
No, that's not a knock on Goldberg. I like
no, the spot. Dude looks fantastic. He's remarkable looking. I mean, it's unbelievable.
You want to date my daughter? He's just throwing up on everybody. That's his new gimmick. I actually got a Twitter message this morning from a fan in Australia.
Oh, nice.
With AEW's main events normally being the openers, when was the last time women opened the show? Could you see Who do you see being the next woman to open the show, and how would you book it?
Open a show? Like
open Dynamite.
I mean, probably it'd be Britt Baker. I mean, you could open Dynamite with like a Britt Baker promo on Thunder Rosa because they're going to have that match at the pay-per-view, right? You know, but by the way, somebody else asked, and I don't know if you have this, but you know, when are they going to sign a free agent? One of the newly available women in pro wrestling, and I know the couple names they're really big on. Toni Storm, I would love to see her there. I'm not saying I know anything about Toni Storm going there, but Toni Storm would be a fantastic addition to that roster.
Yeah, I got a good question for you here. This is from the Shadow Ranger. I don't follow New Japan Pro Wrestling, but I've seen Jay White on Impact. How big of a deal is it for him to be in AEW?
So I think Jay White, to a New Japan fan, it's a big deal. I think if you're familiar with Jay White, I think it's a big deal. I think the pandemic and the decline of New Japan around the little before the pandemic kind of played a big part in this. I think Jay White has a tremendous upside. He's young. He's remarkable in the ring. He's decent promo. You know, he has all the things that kind of make somebody a star. I think if he has a platform to shine on, I think he'll shine no matter where he is, if he's allowed to. I think it's what it does. It kind of solidifies that upper tier a little bit more. And, you know, it kind of plays into that upper mid-card to main event picture, and you could kind of rotate these guys in and out depending on their availability. You know, we talk about the peak in pro wrestling, and the peak in pro wrestling always coincides with a fantastic mid-card.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you need to build this mid-card, and you need to build younger talent with that mid-card also. Guys like The Rock, Steve Austin, all these guys came from the mid-card. Triple H came from a mid-card positioning.
Mm-hmm.
You're up.
That's it. Was that it?
Yeah.
I thought there was more to that.
No, that's it.
All right. This is from Connor Augenstein. I always say his name wrong, but that's my thing now. Does Dynamite need a heel commentator to help the heels get over? Does Taz or someone else replace someone, and who?
I like the commentary team. I think they do a great job of getting the heels over because they talk about how dastardly these guys are, you know?
Yeah.
I think they have I was not a fan of the three-man booth, but they've done a really good job with it. It doesn't feel like they're stepping on each other. I think Excalibur and Tony and JR do a fantastic job.
Yes. This is from Frequency on Twitch. What's going on with Finn? Where has he been? That's a great question.
I think he took some time off. I think he's like, listen, I need to, you know, do my own thing. He was in the UK. He was traveling.
Yeah. He's always in and out, too. This is from Jay on Twitter. Any news on the comeback for former WWE wrestlers like Cameron or the Bella Twins?
I don't think either one of them want to do full time. I think the Bellas will always be incorporated in some capacity as long as they want to do something. I know, you know, it's hard. Listen, they got families. Bellas are big stars. They're celebrities. Do they want to travel from town to town at this point and, you know,
just fall
and
on
wrestle
floor
every week and fall on the floor constantly? I don't know. I think these one-offs are cool. Bring them in for a program, you know, like a tag thing, that might be cool. But, you know, I don't know if they want to. They're on the contract, right? Aren't the Bellas under contract?
I feel like they don't have like a strict talent contract, but I think they're definitely under some kind of WWE contract.
Yeah.
Let's see. This is from Jackson Lee on Twitter. YOLO Swaggins. Great handle. Where do you guys see Keith Lee in a year? Will he be in the world title picture, TNT, or TNT champ?
Where do you guys see Keith Lee in a year? I think putting him in that TNT position would be fantastic. He's a great guy to hold that title, and I definitely see him in the main event picture. I it all depends on him being healthy and being positioned properly. Keith Lee has tremendous upside.
Yeah, I would say definitely TNT title before anything. I think him and Sammy would be a ridiculous match.
Oh my God, that is an absurd match.
Right?
Yeah.
Imagine if it was a ladder match. Keith Lee is the only big guy I wouldn't mind seeing in a ladder match.
Well, I'm waiting. Like, I would love to see, like, behind the scenes stuff where Adam Cole's like, he has PTSD from the fact that he was launched into the crowd on NXT. And every time, and like, he's constantly looking around. I'm telling you, this is going to become like a backstage skit on something that they do where he thinks everybody's Keith Lee and he's like, you know, kind of envisioning what's going to happen to him.
Like, he just keeps calling him the Bearcat. Let's see here. All right. Oh, this is a good one. This is from Dylan on Dylan 13 on Twitch. Any insight on any possible inductees for the Hall of Fame for WWE?
I should ask. I haven't even asked, dude. Do you know how they how stupid they're doing this? It starts at like 10:30 at night and runs till midnight. After SmackDown. That's how they're filming it.
That's how they're filming it, but that's not how they're airing it.
I don't know. I can't remember how they're airing it, to be honest. I don't have it in my notes right now, but that crowd is going to be freaking tired.
Yeah. This next one's from Mark H. The 1500th episode of Raw is coming up in less than 2 weeks. Do you think WWE will have anything big planned for that?
Mark, that's a great question. Let me look into that because I was told some stuff and then I was told they're not doing it. Then I was told they are doing it. You know, they were supposed to do a retro Raw in January that they scrapped. You know, they were because a lot of things changed in their plans. So that's a great question and I could ask, but I would expect them to do something.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, at least promote it. I mean, USA should be starting to promote that and market that like now. Well, next week, they'll probably start doing it.
Yeah. You know, I feel like they will pull some kind of stunt, much like they did with Mickey James, and that went over very well. Jericho.
Oh, bring him in?
Yeah, because Jericho looks like... You don't think so? Jericho looks like he's prime for taking some time off.
That door is closed, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
Like Jericho done?
Like, no, I don't think people are as friendly about bringing in the AEW guys inside of WWE. Yeah, I think there's stuff going on right now.
Okay. All right. This is from Matthew Makovsky. Do you see the boss, Sasha Banks, being pushed aside since Ronda is back, or is Sasha going to have something to do?
I think Sasha will have something to do, but I don't think she's getting pushed aside. I mean, you have to look at the optics of it, right?
Yeah.
Does the casual average person that's flipping channels recognize who Sasha Banks is, or do they recognize who Ronda Rousey is? You know, at the end of the day, we could book all these fantastic stories for us. Like for me, you and Matthew, like these are great Sasha Banks. I want to see her wrestle even more. I want her to be champion. I want to see her do more, but when you are PR driven and you're optics driven, isn't Ronda Rousey the one that you want to position in the main event picture over Sasha Banks? Because what's going to get you headlines? What's going to get you on SportsCenter? What's going to get you on all the ESPN programmings? Who's going to get you on the Tonight Show? Do you think the Tonight Show is going to want... I mean, listen, Sasha Banks does it all the time. She is mainstream, but not as Ronda Rousey. Ronda Rousey's a household name. And there's a big difference.
Everybody knows her.
There's a tremendous difference, and sometimes like think outside of wrestling, and that's how they think. WWE doesn't think about just wrestling and doing what's right for their fans. They're thinking, well, we got to do what's right for the fans and make it entertaining, even though sometimes it's not. But we need to draw in as many viewers as possible.
Yeah, and it comes down to like a simple question: like, who would you rather see in a bit on like Jimmy Kimmel, Sasha Banks, or Ronda Rousey?
Oh, Ronda Rousey.
Right. Let's see. Matthew also is asking, will Andrew reply to my Twitter DMs?
Which one is your which DM?
The one about your flat butt.
Oh man. Which what question did you ask? I might have missed it yesterday.
It's gonna be dirty, bro. You know it's gonna be dirty. All right. Last question.
Mm-hmm.
This is from the Ballard Club on Twitter. What's up, boys? With WrestleMania taking place in Texas, is it a given that The Undertaker goes into the Hall of Fame?
I would say that's a really good likelihood.
Great.
Because you also have to remember, they would love that entrance at WrestleMania. Big stadium, gong, you know, comes out. But like comes out of like a full-fledged zombie.
Like this. Like makeup, like the ECW
full-fledged
zombie?
Yeah. Full-fledged zombie. Ooh, like that. Mm. New gimmick.
That's great. I think Undertaker, your Texas guys are definitely going to be involved somehow, right? Like Shawn Michaels, Stone Cold, whoever else, the Bradshaw.
All the Texas guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Listen, we got you out of here on time, Andrew.
Beautiful. Awesome. I have like 5 minutes. If there's like two more questions I could do. Because I missed the 11:29. I could do...
It was 11:57.
Yeah. I'm going to get on the 11:57.
Yes.
What is up with Andrew's hair? Andrew just got a haircut and it's very high today.
Yeah, I have a ton of high hair.
Do you know why? Because I conditioned and it makes everything so high.
You don't get into like your hang upside down contraption?
No. That's normal. Like that's like my normal way of doing my hair. My matches you see for Revolution 2022, I would do, well, we got the Punk and MJF, I would say. Hangman and Cole. Britt Baker, Thunder Rosa.
Yeah.
What else do we have? Give me another one.
So there's a lot. Malachi and somebody else. Cody and somebody else.
Here we go. Danielson, right? And Mox.
Yeah.
Another one.
Yeah.
That's four. Yeah. And then put another one. I think it's going to be a good pay-per-view. I'm excited for it.
Danielson and Mox. Punk makes a save, then you get Punk versus Danielson.
I want to see that, man.
Don't you want to see that match? Like it's like a really like a 45 minute Punk versus Danielson match.
Yeah. Malachi and Pac.
Yeah.
That's another one. So there you go. I mean that's pretty much, I mean, that's a great lineup. And then you put a nice tag match in there. You know what, seven matches you could do on that show? It'll be a great
and
show.
The Bearcat Brawl, of course.
And the Bearcat Brawl. Obviously. The winner the ladder match. There you go. With Bearcat and whoever else.
There you go. We'll have the Elite POV says Andrews Aaron versus Arn Anderson and a battle of the gym teacher suits match.
Perfect. I'm into it. I just need a whistle.
That's it. Oh no. I find whistles to be the most irritating sound on the planet.
You know what? If I was mayor of this city, I would ban whistling.
Like with a whistle.
With a whistle.
Not ban it with all. Your lips.
No, that too. Nobody should be puckering their lips in public like that and making a sound like that. It's erroneous.
See, I like whistling. I find it very... when I whistle, I find it very comic. It's very therapeutic.
Yeah, but you catcall the mailman. That's your problem.
I do. I do the reverse catcalling. I catcall construction workers so they don't catcall me.
All right, what else do we have? Anything else? Do you have any news or idea on who the sixth woman is in the chamber? Is Ronda the sixth? I don't think it's going to be. No, it's not Ronda. I don't think it's Ronda.
Let's see. The Nerd Guru for $1.99 asks, is Ronda the sixth chamber member for the women?
I do not think it's Ronda. Yeah.
James
I would love
Nodor.
To share. Yeah, go ahead. Read that. That's a good one.
James Nodor to the second. James Mordor the second would love to share some Friday beers and talk wrestling with these dudes. Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah,
man.
I mean,
buy us a bunch of beers. Buy us beers, dude.
By the way, Tony Khan, apparently there was a story this morning that Tony's running for Congress.
Okay. Wow.
Uh-huh. Okay. Tony wrote, the fact checking standard for pro football talk reporting is far lower than AEW's roving reporter, Tony Schiavone. I'm definitely not running for Congress. This filing is faker than Eddie Gilbert's apology to Tommy Rich in 1984.
That's great.
PFT sources as trustworthy as MJF. Good response, Tony.
Yeah, really good response.
Yeah, fantastic. All right, guys, that's it. Rich, where can people find you?
BTC Rich on Twitter. That is my only social platform. Find me there.
Yeah. Andrew Zarian on Twitter. Mattman Podcast on Twitter. I'll be live this Saturday. I don't know who my guest is on Wrestling Observer Live, but I'll have a guest this Friday. I'm sorry, this Sunday. Why do I keep saying Friday?
Saturday.
This Sunday.
Friday, Sunday.
What day is Sunday. It? I don't know anymore. I got to get out of here. This Saturday, I'll have a guest. Maybe it'll be Lance. I'll ask Lance to come on. If Lance can't come on, I'll find somebody else.
There you go.
Yeah. And that's it. We'll see y'all next time. Bye-bye for now.